So this morning we're talking about, last week we talked about the husbands, and this week we're going to talk about the wives. And so let me just say this, I take pleasure in neither. Talking about husbands or wives, I take great pleasure in my wife. So anyway, but when we look at relationships and we talk about husbands and wives and try to bring this together, because you know one of the biggest problems we have in society today is relationship problems. Amen? Man, listen, we got problems with our spouses, we have problems with our employers, with our employees, with our children, with our friends, we have problems with strangers, we just have these massive relationship problems and communication problems that we can't seem to bring together. And I think the biggest problem is because the majority of people today live in a virtual world. You go on, okay, how many have Facebook accounts? I'm not going to make you feel bad yet. How many, okay, so and you go on there, and just to be honest, just for a moment, guys, and I'm guilty of this. Listen, if I'm not spiritually right, mentally right, physically right, I can do the same thing. How many have ever went on Facebook, and you've looked at what your friends are doing, or what they're lying about doing, and then all of a sudden you start comparing your life with their life, and then you start feeling bad about your life. Who've been there, right? Right? You're like, well, I should be doing that. Oh, man, some people just... And then all of a sudden you start looking at your life, and then you just want to kill your life and live their life. But if you did that, you'd find out that their life really isn't what they portrayed it to be. And we have these huge issues. Well, Facebook is horrendous for creating divorce. The number one reason for divorce used to be financial, and now it's Facebook. And they're even using it in the court for their reason for divorce. Facebook. Because what happens husbands and wives, they go and they look because the husband's looking for the perfect wife and the wife is looking for the perfect husband. And so they find their old whatever and they go back to it and then they leave what they have. And then everything gets disrupted and there's divorce and everything. And we just live in this virtual world. And what happens is if you talk to them, you're like, well, you know, I'm going back to this because blah, blah, blah. And the reality is, guys, if we would fertilize our own ground, our own grass, we would have everything we're looking for. But it takes two. It takes both. It takes the husband loving his bride like Christ loved the church. And we talked about that last week. And then it takes the wife respecting her husband. And for whatever reason, and I know the reasons, and I can point out all the reasons, and you guys know the reasons, I can remind you of them. How's that? Because you guys typically know them. And here's the thing. We have this massive movement of women's lib, of feminism, of, you know, all this junk. And you go, junk? Yeah, it's junk. Because what happened is, when this came along, it divided the household. And it reversed the roles of the husband and wife. It was the husband's the head of the household. The wife, and by the way, this isn't in order of importance, because God says that both are equally as important and to him, and both are equally as important in their roles, and both are equally as important in the household, and both are equally as important in the children's lives. I mean, listen, we're not diminishing importance. We are just putting it in God's order. So we have God, and then the man, and then the wife, and then the children, and then other people, and then goldfish, rats, and we have dogs, and then goldfish, and then rats, and then cats. And so it kind of goes in that order, you know. And so what's happened, though, is we have went society as a whole, and listen, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you might think that I'm bashing on somebody, and I'm really not. You just have to hang in there and listen as we go through. But in society, what's happened is we have, God's just been removed, and so now we have women, and then we have children, and then we have animals, and then the man is all of a sudden down here somewhere. The man is the problem with the problems, and the man is the problem, and the man's an idiot. I mean, just watch every sitcom. I'm not saying this because I'm a man. I'm saying this because if you really pay attention, this is what's going on. And in every sitcom you watch, the husband is the idiot. And it just shouldn't be that way. The woman knows it all, and then she convinces her kids to allow the dad to look smart so that he feels important, and so then the kids follow the wife's role in allowing dad to look intelligent and feel sorry for him because he doesn't know any better. Or am I the only one noticing this? And so what I want to do today is we're looking at the scriptures. Last week we talked about the husbands. This week we're talking about the wives. And we're just looking at what their roles should be and how they fill those roles according to the Word of God. I'm going to tell you right now, ladies, don't get upset with me. If you're visiting and you don't like what I have to say, come back next week. You might like that next week. Give me 3 chances before I strike out. But I really want you to hear what God has to say. And I want to come in and be sensitive about this thing. And so, what I really want to do, my desire is to teach the Word of God so that you guys listen and grab hold of it and not get irritated with me going, oh, well, he's just a feminist jerk. I might be, but I'm trying to deliver this so that you guys grab hold of it. I'm trying to teach it so that you guys grab hold of it the way God intended it, okay? And so work with me here. All right, here we go. We're in Ephesians chapter 5, and it's 5:22. Last week we covered 5:25, where it said, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And then we unfolded that, and what did it look like? And of course, you know, it looks like the husband being the provider and the husband loving his wife. And what I find very interesting is the Bible tells the man to love the wife, but nowhere in the Bible does it tell the wife to love the husband. And you go, what? Because the truth is, love to the man is respect. That's the way the man sees love. And so you can love him all you want, but if you don't respect him, he doesn't see the love. And it's just the way God made us. I can't explain that. I wish I could, but that would be having me explain why God does something would be like me explaining why a woman does something. It's just... Oh, that went over like the cold weather. All right, here we go. 5:22. Some of you men are already praying for me diligently. I can feel it. I just felt this massive wave of, oh dear God, help him. I just felt it come over me. Thank you, men. I appreciate that. Because you guys understand that sometimes I don't think before I speak. Here we go. Ephesians 5:22. He starts out with, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. So when we look at that, we see that God said, wives, submit to your husband, or surrender to his authority, as you would surrender to Christ's authority. See, we don't have a problem surrendering to Christ's authority because Christ is God and he's the Savior. And so he's way up here. But then all of a sudden, for some reason, women have a tendency to go, well, God, I don't have a problem surrendering to you, but I'm not surrendering to my husband. And if that's your attitude, you haven't surrendered to Christ either. Amen? Because if you surrender to Christ, what you're saying is, okay, Lord, you are the Lord of Lords, you are the King of Kings, and so therefore, if I am going to honor you, then I will surrender to my husband. I'm going to be obedient. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And this isn't coming in like, Oh, sure, you want me to be a doormat to my husband. No, no, no. Because if you go back and you read in Genesis, it says that, listen, God made women to be the man's helpmeet. In other words, to help him become everything that he is to be. And you, listen, you come in and you help complete him just as the husband helps complete you. Are we playing video games or answering phones? By the way, if you have a phone, turn it off, okay? So that it doesn't interrupt with the mic. But that's what happens is God says, listen, I'm coming in. I'm bringing you guys together. I'm no respecter of persons, whether it be man or woman. And so you're equal. But there is a requirement of us to fall into our position of authority. And so, wives, submit to your husbands and respect him. And then, of course, I get, because, you know, being a pastor, I have this wonderful privilege of counseling. And here's what I hear all the time. He hasn't earned respect. Oh my goodness. And then he responds with, well, when she becomes lovable, I'll love her. And you just kind of want to poke both of them in the eye. Because when we read the scriptures, it says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Period. Not if she is lovable. Which, by the way, we already know that women can become incredibly difficult, because God doesn't tell the woman that it's easier to live on the rooftop if the man is difficult, does he? I'm feeling the prayers again. They're just sweeping over. If I had hair, you'd see my hair flow from all the prayers that just got pushed up here. But why does God say that about the woman? Well, because the woman can be emotionally moved, emotionally charged. I don't want you to get... Now I felt the prayers go to Larry, and he just... As his wife's going, uh-huh, you want dinner? Yeah, let's see how skinny you can get next week. But what he's saying is, listen, here's what I want you to do. And by the way, if you look here in verse 22... It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, period. Not if he earns it. Not if he deserves it. Because the truth is, there are times that women don't deserve to be loved and men don't deserve to be respected. I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is that some of you men are just jerks. And some of you ladies are the same. That's just the truth of the matter. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes we just get selfish. It's all about me. We sent my niece, it was her birthday last week, the 19th. And so we sent her a birthday card, and it said, today is all about you. We love you, da-da-da-da. And then you open it up and it says, because tomorrow is all about me. Right? So it's like, enjoy your day, because after that it's about me again. And the truth is, that's the way some of us feel. That's the attitude some of us have, is we go, hey, it's all about me, and I'm not getting what I want. Because I'm not getting what I want, I'm going to make your life miserable until I get what I want. Amen? Anybody ever been there? Yeah, right? And by the way, I don't know about you, but I can be really good at being selfish. And I can be really good at making you feel really bad to get what I really want if I don't control myself. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you, she's back there going, uh-huh. But the truth is, every one of us are that way. So when we look at the passages here and it says, husbands, love your wife. And you say, well, pastor, you don't know my wife. You married her. And if you didn't like what she was, just look at her mama. You should have known when you were rolling into it. Isn't that what people would normally say? I felt the prayers all of a sudden. Whoosh! Almost knocked me over, right? Isn't that what they say, though? Isn't that? Okay, forget that one. Wives, respect your husbands. There's nothing respectful about him. You married him. So now we got to get back. And guys, here's what it's time to do. It is time to take all of the junk that has influenced our mind and our heart and to filter through it to get back to where we need to be. As we do this, you're going to have to look at yourself. Like, look in the mirror. Really look in the mirror. It's really interesting because it's a proven fact that when women look in the mirror, they see themselves as being typically as a whole, not everyone, but they look in the mirror and they see themselves as being not pretty enough or overweight or like they look in the mirror and they see all these problems. And a man looks in the mirror and he doesn't see all these problems. What he sees is what he was when he was 15. Like, he's out to here because he's eating so much, but he still finds that in the mirror. Right? Isn't that? We deceive. The prayers. Don't we deceive ourselves at times, though? And guys, that's what I'm talking about. We're going to have to work through that and flush through that and work it out and process through it, because the truth is we have been so influenced by society, contrary to the Word of God, the things contrary to the Word of God, that now we got to figure out what's real and what's not real. And when we see it in the Word of God or when we hear it, then we got to be real and we got to work through it. And so that's what I'm challenging you to do. Last week, husbands, I challenged you to love your wives. And I had some of you come up to me and go, "You don't know what a challenge that is." Well, you're up to it, I hope. And so, wives, I'm going to challenge you to respect your husbands. And I'm going to put some things out there. And some of you aren't going to like it. I'm just telling you right up front. You're not going to like it. As a matter of fact, you're just going to talk junk about me when you leave. And you're going to look to your husband and you're going to go, "Oh, don't you even think I'm going to do what the pastor asked." That is not going to happen. But I pray that you don't. I pray that you go, "Hey, you know what? What we're doing isn't working. So let's try it." Some of you are saying, "Well, I don't have a spouse. I'm not married." Take notes. One day that may change. And you'll be ready. So as I looked through this and I thought about it, and of course what I did was I thought, let me go out and just research what some other women, godly women, have done to respect their husband. Because, by the way, husbands, if you think your wife, there's no hope for her and you can't love her, my challenge to you again, as last week, is you become what God has called you to be, and you may not find your wife so difficult. You treat your wife, you love your wife the way God says to love your wife. Do you love your wife the way Christ loved the church? And what you may find is your wife going, "Who is this new man? Who? I like him." Amen? Some of you might be going like, "Oh no, I like him a lot now." Men, are you hearing what I'm saying without me saying it? That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying. I didn't feel the prayer, so that was a good one. And ladies, if you want your husbands to be all you want them to be, then you got to be all that Christ wants you to be. Like, you got to look at the mirror at yourself and go, am I being the woman of God that I know to be, or that pastors talked about being, or that I've read in the Bible to be, or I've heard somebody else tell me this is what I need to be? Am I being that woman? Because the truth is, if we become what we are supposed to be, if we become the children of God that God requires us to be, your marriage problems will disappear. Your children problems will disappear. Probably because you'll take the Old Testament attitude and just cast them to the ground. But if we become the people that God desires us to be, I'm going to tell you, your life will change. Because your attitude will change. Your focus will change. Your direction will change. Your goals, your visions will change. Be a lot of things new, amen? So when I looked at this and I said, okay, I'm not just gonna throw all this out there, but I got to give you something to take home, amen? And so ladies, as I studied this out, here's what I discovered. I read a multitude of things that ladies have done to win their husbands back. 1 Peter chapter 3, right? Tells the ladies, if you want to win your husband, then you got to win him by being godly, by doing the things of God, reading the Word of God, being the influence of God in their life. Well, the same thing's happening here, guys. And so, if you want to win your husbands, oh, this is where I need the prayers, men. You need to treat them like a VIP. You really do. He don't deserve it. I didn't say he did. But how many of you are saying, Lord, give me my husband. Give me the godly husband. Give me the man, Lord, that you would have him to be. And so God says, okay, this is what I want you to do. And you go, whoa, wait a minute. I wasn't expecting all that work. I'm going to tell you, relationships are work, amen? I mean, they're work. Sometimes it's the most difficult work we can do because we have to be unselfish. I remember Tim and Kathy, and if you don't know Tim and Kathy, you know them, the Dottons. But Kathy was saved and Tim wasn't saved, and their relationship was very acidic and tumultuous. I didn't ask for permission. Is this okay? Okay. Very, very... Let me tell you what rats they were. But their relationship was very tumultuous. And then one day God hit Kathy. Oh, isn't that weird how God hit Kathy with this? You're a Christian. You know better. You should be treating him like such and such and such. You should be treating him like a VIP. And so, help me if I'm wrong here. You changed the way you started treating Tim, and then Tim changed, didn't he? God grabbed a hold of him, shook him up. He was like, whoa. But he had to grab hold of her first and shake her up. And you're going, ladies, you're going, really, it's my responsibility. Well, if he's the head of the household, why do I got to manipulate him through it? Well, you're not manipulating him through it. You're becoming what God wants you to be because God designed you to be his helpmeet to get through life. And God says you have to be this way, wife, so that the husband can be all that he is, because without you, he's not. Are you seeing the importance that you ladies have? This submit isn't a lower level thing, by no means. This submit is because God says this is the way I have it set up. And ladies, if you treat your husband with the utmost respect, he will become the husband you most desire. Amen? We got living proof time and time again. And so as I was studying and reading these various stories of these godly women these Christians first, who then decided to be godly women and get their marriage right, it literally took them to treat their husband like a VIP for the husband to come around. Because here's the thing, ladies. You ladies work off of emotion. That's not a negative. It's the way God made you. So don't think that I'm suppressing you. I'm not. I'm just simply stating facts. Men just work. We're not moved by emotion, not typically. But we're also waffle heads. Ladies, you're spaghetti brains. Man, that flows, your circuitry looks all crazy, and yet you... And we're waffle heads, and when we finally get to that box that you're in, we go, wow, how does she do all of that? I'm telling you, ladies, you're not, I'm not minimizing you. We're just establishing truth here. So what does it look like to treat your husband like a VIP? Is this breaking up? A little bit? Do I need new batteries? Okay. If it gets bad, we'll yell. What does it look like? Well, VIP. Here we go. The V stands for verbally. Verbally. Write this down. Don't everybody just keep looking at me. Even if you're not writing it down, look down like you're writing it down. Make it look like what I have to say is important today, and you were very interested in writing it down so you can change your entire life. All right? Amen? Yeah, you just look like it. Just look like it. That way I know you're really interested in changing your marriage. And by the way, you might say, well, my marriage doesn't have any problems. Hey, these are notes that you can write down, so if a problem should happen to creep in, you know how to handle it. The V is for verbally. Ladies, when you talk to your husband, you have to lift him up. I'm not saying smooth him. I'm not saying be fake. I'm saying whatever you say to him, make it real. Because if it's not real, he's already going to know. And by the way, you might go, well, I've never said that. And so the minute I say it, he's going to know something's up. He'll probably reach for his credit card. And then that's where the ladies, you got to refrain and go, no, 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 honey, I don't want it today. Listen, if your relationship has been acidic and tumultuous, when you start this process, your husband might be a little on guard. And so you're going to have to stay faithful to the process to show him that it's real and that this is really what you desire. Okay? Lift him up verbally. Proverbs 11:12. Do we have it? There we go. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. Verbally, listen, verbally, you're going to have wisdom and choose your words, and you're going to build your man up. Because the truth is, all of society tears us down. The woman is up here, the man's an idiot. The woman is great, the man's an idiot. The woman deserves all the money, the man's an idiot. I mean, it's a constant beat down that we go through. And so, ladies, we need you. Okay, wives, we need you. Not all you ladies come up and tell a man that's not your husband how great he is, because there's going to be a cat fight and we don't need that. You guys look at me like I'm crazy, but you know I'm right. It's like, you talking to my man that way? That's my man. Lift them up. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now think about this, ladies. Death and life. Man, if all you've done is beat down your husband, it's going to be real hard for him to love you. And you're going to get the fruit of the beat down. There's death in wrong words. And husbands, you need to grab hold of this as well, because sometimes, don't go home expecting your wife to be loving and do all this, and you're beating her down with the wrong words too. This runs both ways. Okay? This isn't a one-way street here. And so husbands, if you're being a jerk, you need to back up and think about, what am I saying? And what am I doing? And because I'm going to tell you, verbally, I can be incredibly abusive if God doesn't grab hold of my tongue. I'm just telling you, I can be. I grew up on the streets, and man, listen, there's two ways, things that you could do, and that is you can manipulate and hurt with your tongue, and physically you can fight. Like, that's what I grew up with, and so I completely understand this, and I know that if I'm not cautious, I will say things that will absolutely cut my wife to the heart. So this runs both ways. But ladies, I'm just going to be honest with you. The husbands, your husband, he needs to hear that he's your champion. He needs to know that you look at him as a lover and a provider, the head of the household. Like, he needs to know that you put him in his position. I didn't say on a pedestal. I said in his position. But we as men, ladies, we need your compliments. Not to boost our ego, but to know that we're being what God has called us to be for you. We need that. And not because the man's weak, but because you complete us. And if we're not being the man, or you're degrading us, it just takes the wind out of our sails. Ladies, think about how important you are. We need you. But we need you to be what God made you. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Ladies, we don't need you to tell us how bad we are. The world's doing that. Society's already beating us down. We need lifted up when we get home. I'm going to tell you, my wife makes me feel like the hero. I'll conquer the world. Amen, men? Don't you feel that way? Man, when your wife talks about you, or she's talking to somebody else, and you hear her, or somebody says, hey, man, you know, man, your wife loves you. You got to hear the way she talks about you. All of a sudden, your chest goes from this to, I am the man. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to show my wife how much I love her. Amen? I'm telling you, it's so important, the words, and to know that you love us, to know that we are your hero. We got to be your hero. I don't care if I'm anybody else's hero. But if I don't know that I'm your hero, I'm like, what's my purpose? And you guys go, well, that's insecure. No, I'm telling you, that is the difference that a wife makes in the husband. Absolutely. And so, ladies, if you aren't doing that, if you're not lifting him up, you're beating him down. It just is what it is. And so ladies, when we're talking about the VIP, the V is for verbally. James 1:26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religious is useless. Ladies and gentlemen, if you call yourself a Christian and you talk like the world and you beat each other down like the world, your religion is useless. I question if you're really a Christian, and you need to question it. If your tongue is full of bitterness and hatred, you really need to look at it. If you go out and you treat your neighbor better than you treat your spouse, you need to look at it, because you're fake. You go, oh, I'm not fake, I'm being real, I don't like my spouse. Some of you are like, I don't know whether to laugh or cry over that one. Your religion is useless because you're not loving your spouse the way God told you to love your spouse. Do you realize the divorce rate in the Christian church is equal to the divorce rate in the world? Do you know what that tells us? That tells us that we're just like the world. We need to be ashamed of ourselves for that. And so verbally, ladies, watch your tongue. This is for both, but I'm talking to the women this week, so this will lean in your way. It's okay. Check your tongue. Check your what you have to say. VIP, that V is verbally. The I is intellectually. Intellectually. Oh, my goodness. Proverbs 14:6. A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it, but knowledge is easy to him who understands. Listen, when you, ladies, you speak to your to your husband. Do not speak to your husband intellectually like they're a child. You are not their mother. You are their wife. And you need to treat them as such, that they are your husband. He didn't marry his mama. Don't be it. I know some of you think, well, he acts like a baby, and so I'm going to treat him like one. Well, spank him and help him grow up. Intellectually, when you deal with your husband, do not deal with your husband like he is beneath you. Because that is just as bad as verbally beating them down. Intellectually, they're your equal. You go, well, I got a higher education, I've been to college, and he hasn't, and he's done this. Well, then you should have married somebody that was in college if that's what you wanted. Don't beat your husband down. Don't make him feel stupid. Don't demean him. Intellectually, you have to come in and you have to talk to them, because, I mean, let's face it, there are some marriages where the wife, her intelligence level is like out there. Whew, and you're going, oh my goodness, I could not keep up with that. But he respects that about you and he loves that about you. So don't use that as a tool to make him feel less of a man. You'll lose him. You won't get that marriage that you want. You won't get the relationship that you want. You won't get the love that you want. You won't get the intimacy that you want. You won't get all the things that you're desiring to have in this marriage. You're not going to get if you make your man feel stupid, ignorant. You're just not going to get it. The man, listen, the man, he doesn't respond emotionally. He just responds. Remember the waffle head? It's like, oh, I'm in this box, and I don't like this box. And so you know what we do with that box? We close the door and leave it. And then we go over here to this nothing box. Because in the nothing box, we're comfortable. Not because we're not intelligent. It's just because we don't have to deal with the beatdown. And so we'll hang out in the nothing box. And you'll keep talking to us because it'll look like we're there. But really, there's nothing going on. We don't hear you. Because you've already beat us down, you've already made us feel less than a man, and so therefore now we're not interested in what you have to say because it really hurts. And so we go to our nothing box because nothing is just pretty nice to deal with. Amen? Guys, I'm just telling you as a whole how men and women think and what we do. I'm just being honest with you. Some men won't go to their nothing box. They'll go to the abusive box. Maybe they'll go to the drinking box. Maybe they'll just go to some other box that's not healthy. Because the truth is, for a man, ladies, wives, we need to feel like men, and you are what does it. And so if intellectually you have destroyed us, we're going to go to a box that's not so destructive. Got to be so careful, ladies. Got to be so careful. Because, again, you are fighting the influence of the world. Proverbs 15:7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. Be wise, ladies. Be wise. Men, we have to be the same way. Listen, these passages aren't just for the women. These are for all of us and how we should treat our spouse. But I'm just talking to ladies today because today is the wife day. But understand what it... Man, we can't demean... Do not demean each other. Do not do it. You know, the men do it too because they'll manipulate, men will manipulate the wives and make them feel worthless. And so they'll stay in an abusive relationship because they don't believe they're any better. How many times have we heard this or read this story? And it's like you look at this woman who has been beat. She's got bruises. She's missing teeth. And she was a beautiful woman. And you go, why did you stay in the relationship? Well, I just felt like that's all I was worth. Ladies, the men aren't any different. If intellectually you wear us down, sometimes we just stay in the abuse because we're like, what are we? Because we really get our value from the woman, the wife. So important. Why? Well, God made us that way. God, you say, well, man, that's weak. No. No. Listen, the two become one, and when the two become one, listen, you have to take care of each other because you're taking care of your own body. Isn't that what the Bible says? That we are to take care of one another as our own body? Well, that's what the Bible tells the husband to do, take care of the wife like his own body. This has nothing to do with strength or weakness. This has everything to do with godliness and fulfillment. And when we become all that God has called us to be, and He tells us how to do it. So when we do that, when we put it into practice, when we apply it to our lives, I'm telling you, we will get the life we want and the marriage we want. If we raise our kids the way God tells us to raise the kids, we will have children we want. And if they're not, then we go back to the beat them with a rod part, and they'll become children we want. I tried to lighten the load just a tad, guys. But the truth is, we cannot treat our spouse like they're below us. We can't talk to our spouse in a destructive, acidic way without expecting exactly what we gave them. Can't do it. We got to be so, so careful. So the V is for verbally, the I is for intellectually, the P is for physically. Physically. We're talking about treating the husbands like a VIP. Very important person. What does this look like? It's how we talk to them. It's verbally. It's how we treat them intellectually and then physically. There are some ladies who are like, oh, you want this? Then you do this. No. No. Ladies, your body is not your own. If you're married, your body is your spouse's as well. Men, you should have said amen right there. I'm trying to help you. You should have been like, woo, yes. Preach it, brother. Something. I know some of you ladies are like, don't you go there. But we have to. Because the three areas that I'm covering are the three areas that are incredibly important to the men. And they should be important to you ladies if you want the husband that you really want. Physically, Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled. This is where some of you are going to like me, some of you may hate me. Sex is very important in a marriage. It's incredibly important in a marriage. And sometimes there's just issues where it doesn't happen, and I understand that. But sometimes it just doesn't happen because, ladies, you use it as a tool. This is your control. I will control my husband. I'll dominate my husband. my husband will do as I say, or else it's not happening. Ladies, you want to push your husband away? You want to drive him out of the house? That will do it. That will do it. And you'll say, well, God will hold him accountable. Well, God's going to hold you accountable too. What's acceptable in that room? Trying to keep it PG here, guys. Sometimes it is challenging. What is acceptable there? Because, you know, sometimes he wants to go here and I'm like, So, have a little appreciation for my job at the moment, okay? I'm going to tell you what is it. Oh, you don't have to leave. It's all right. She's got to go to. That's funny. Katina's got to go to work. It's all right. It's funny. She's like, I just want to hang out as long as I can, but then I got to go to work. Mom, don't look. She's in such a hurry. She's like, I got to go, man. She's forgetting her clothing. Anyway, I mean her scarf. Okay, now I'm sweating. All right. So, anyway, what is? I'm going to stay out from under a light so you don't see all the sweat that is coming out of my head right now. What's acceptable there? What you both agree on. What you both are willing to do. What you both are comfortable with. And so, husbands, if she's not comfortable, don't get upset. But ladies, don't withhold either. See, there's a balance here, and what creates the balance is communication. Talk to one another. Communicate with one another. Hey, make some sacrifices. Make some adjustments. Work with one another through this. Don't let it become a stumbling block. Don't let it become an issue. Don't make it stop you from coming together all together because you have a fear of, oh no, I'm for whatever it is, I don't know. But don't stop it because I'm going to tell you, the man needs it. And so when we're talking about that room, the only time that room is undefiled is when someone violates an area that they shouldn't have, that was expressly communicated not to. Other than that, guys, have fun. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, amen, and amen, and amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's what I'm thinking. Man, you should have been all up on that one. Ladies, that was not given to you. When you became married, it was for both. Love your husbands. That is not for you to control the time clock on. Except for one time. Every month. Appreciate my job today. Other than that, 1 Corinthians 7:5. Other than that, do not deprive one another. Except with consent. What do you mean consent? Right now we have some serious issues that we need to work through. And I'm just struggling. And then the other spouse says, hey, I understand. And okay, let's take a moment. And that consent, when you take the moment, do you know what you do during that time? Can anybody guess? Pray. That's what the Bible says to do, that you pray. Because it says you with consent for a short time. It's just a time. This isn't a forever thing. I've talked to spouses, to couples, and they have these huge issues in their marriage, and I'll say, when's the last time you guys had sex? 5 years ago. Okay. Problem number one. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again. Come back together. Take care of one another. The longer you go, the harder it is going to be to come back together. Amen? Because all of a sudden, both are going to become uncomfortable, and then it's like, well, the man's going to go, well, if I try to pursue that, then they're going to think that's all I want. And then all of a sudden, they're going to be like, because that's all you want. And then and all of a sudden, what happens? Satan, right? Look at this passage for a minute, guys. You separate for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer to resolve whatever spiritual issue that you have in your marriage. You come back together so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Fine. She wants to be like that? I'll move on. Fine. He wants to be like that? I'll move on. And then, what do? In our hearts, we justify our actions. Well, if he would have done this or she would have done that, this wouldn't have happened. No, if you weren't so selfish and lacked self-control, it wouldn't have happened. If you would have been obedient to the scriptures, it wouldn't have happened. If you would have loved your husband or respected your husband like the Bible said, it wouldn't have happened. If you would love your wife like the Bible says, it wouldn't have happened. I'm going to tell you, and then if you deprive yourself one another, look, all you're doing is setting yourself up for utter failure. That's what you're doing. When we fail to do it God's way, we fail. In every relationship, and we have covered a multitude of relationships, amen? In every relationship, when we fail to do it God's way, we fail. And you go, those are harsh words. I don't like those. If I'm lying, okay. But if I'm not, you got to deal with it. And so when it comes to physically, this is not a tool to be used for evil. Do you understand me? This is not a tool to be used for evil. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, small window, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. How long can you go without eating? Seriously. Okay, the most I've went in fasting is 14 days. And I'm going to tell you, my mind wasn't there. I took my vitamins, I drank water, and that's what I did. Day 11, I was like getting staggered, not physically, but just kind of like I just wasn't altogether there. So when we see this, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, that shows you it's a short window. Amen? Short. I was counseling a couple. This has been about 15 years ago, and I was counseling a couple, and they hadn't been together in about a year, And he said, John, I'm just gonna tell you, I'm ready to leave. I'm ready to get out. And so I looked at her and I go, why has it been a year? God is my witness. Her response was, I've had a stomach ache. Oh, you guys found the humor I found. And I said, you mean to tell me that your stomach has hurt every day, all day, for a year? Well, no. I said, here's what you have. A lousy excuse to be ungodly. You are not being the wife that God has called you to be, in not just that area, but several areas. And I looked at him and I go, and you are not being the husband that God has called you to be, not just in that area, but several areas. You both have several issues, and let's look at them. And we looked at them and we unfolded them. And you know what they decided to do? Get a divorce. So they went ahead and divorced, married somebody else, and took all those problems with them. Because they never dealt with them. They never resolved them. And had they worked on them and resolved them and took care of them God's way, they would have saved the marriage and it would have been good and it would have been healthy. Ladies, you want your husband? Treat him like a VIP. Let me say this. In the beginning, it may not be easy. As a matter of fact, it may be very uncomfortable. But Peter says, wives, if you want to win your husbands, then you live it out. What does that mean? That means consistently live it out. Consistently be godly. Consistently do what he has asked us to do. Kathy, have you been consistent? Or Tim, has she been consistent? And what's it done for your marriage? Amen. It's been restored. It is healthy. They love on one another. And if you're not careful and you're looking around, you'll find them in the corner kissing and, you know. And you're like, man, control yourself. Okay, honey, let's go home. Right? I mean, because what do we want? That's what we want. Amen. Man, I tried to help you again. You guys are in the nothing box. You need to join the church box. Come on. Amen? Oh, man. There's a lot of marriages that need help. I can hear it already. That's what we need to do, though. We need to do it God's way. Ladies, if you want to win your husbands, you got to treat them like a VIP. But you got to be sincere. You don't want to snowball your husband just like you wouldn't want him to do that to you. Be sincere. Be honest. Be desperate to do it God's way. And husbands, if you love your wives as Christ loved the church, which means that you sacrifice for her. Man, that, you know what? You put that part of the body first. And you love that body and you sacrifice for that body and you're unselfish and you're desperate to take care of and honor and nurture and protect that part. Your wife will respond. And ladies, if you treat him like a VIP, that's why the Bible says, guys, love your wife, and wives, respect your husbands, because we respond two different ways. You want love, you have to respect. And when you do that, we'll grow the church from the inside. Some of you never got that one. Milton, you're sharp today. Amen? Man, you guys are weak. I'm late. I see what it is. Okay. It was funny because I told Karen this would be a short message today. Let's commit to one another. Okay, husband and wife, commit to each other. Let's keep this specific. To be the person God called us to be. And if you're not married and you're single, then you commit to God to be the person God wants you to be. It doesn't change. Only your actions do. We are called to be godly and we're called to be holy. But if we're married, then we're called to think of the other one first. Nowhere do you see Christ putting himself before the bride. May we all have the heart, the desire, the attitude, and the intestinal fortitude to put all this into action. Some of you are going to have to step over that line of uncomfortable because you've allowed this to go so far that you're going to allow pride to get in the way and stop you from bringing it back together. Well, this is just going to feel awkward now. Yep. Well, this is going to feel weird now. Yep. Well, this is pretty difficult. Yep. But make the decision. And then step into action. Both of you. Don't wait for the other one. Both of you decide and you come together. And may there be glorious fireworks when it's over. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're going to struggle to put into practice what I just talked about. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're going to think that the world's right and you're going to act like the world. And you need to be very careful of that because the world is not right if it's contrary to the Word of God. And so if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to give you that opportunity right now. I didn't preach a salvation message, but I feel like I need to give an invitation, and so I don't want to be disobedient. But if you're here today and you say, I don't know Jesus as my Savior, I don't think like the Bible, I don't even know that I believe the Bible. Well, God says that you won't believe the Bible, you'll think it's foolishness if you don't have the Spirit of God. And you say, well, how do I get the Spirit of God? Romans tells us that if we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that he rose again the third day, he conquered death and hell, he's at the right hand of the Father today. If you believe that, then that's salvation. And so if you're here today and you say, you know, I just want to put my faith in Jesus Christ because there's no other hope anywhere else, and I believe that, I don't understand it, but I believe that. Then you pray this prayer. The words don't save you. It's your heart and your belief that saves you. But the words just walk you through the process. And so if it's your desire to give your life to Christ, then this is what you do. And make it real because, listen, you can fool me, but you can't fool God. And so if you don't mean it, don't fool yourself. You pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Man, I have made poor decisions. But today, I repent of those. I ask for forgiveness. Today, I want to walk in your light and in your direction, God. Not my own and not the way of the world. So, Jesus, today, I surrender all. If that's you, and you meant it,